Who are we here at Zion Lutheran Church in Akron, Ohio? And what is our purpose? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 answers both those questions. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness to his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So far the text. There's a story told of a hitchhiker, and he was trying to get a ride in Los Angeles. And as he was trying to get a ride in Los Angeles, wouldn't you know it, a car pulled over and stopped. Well, when the hitchhiker got in the car, he saw the face of the driver, and he immediately recognized him. The driver was Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas. Well, the hitchhiker was shocked, and all he could think of to say was this: do you know who you are? Do we know who we are here at Zion? And if we know who we are, do we know what we are supposed to do? Peter, in our text for today, gives us four titles. And he talks about who we are as the church before, in verse 10, he goes on to say, and now this is your business. He says, number one, you are a chosen race. We're a selected group of people. Now, we have things in common. We have a common allegiance to Christ. We are disciples of Jesus. We follow him with our lives. We're part of his church, his body here on earth. As such, we're a chosen race. We've been called out of all of the races of men into a race of his people, the people of God. And by our new spiritual birth in Christ, we have been born again of water and the Spirit. Dear friends, we're his chosen race. Number two, we're a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Well, why is that? Because we serve a royal priest. We have the privilege of serving in the presence of a king. Royal priesthood. Those two words express the dignity and the excellency and the function that God has given to all of us as those who minister in his name. We're a royal priesthood. Ours is a royal lineage. We have been given the ability to minister in his name. Now, if you look back at the Old Testament, the priesthood was different. The priesthood in the Old Testament, the priest was a go-between between God and man, because before Christ, you couldn't enter into a covenantal relationship without the priest. Well, the curtain wall has been torn down, and we have direct access to the throne of God. We're a royal priesthood. This is how Paul describes it. He says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, to reconcile us, to make friends, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Imagine that. We have the ministry of making people friends with God. That is in Christ. God was reconciling, that is, bringing his fellowship, the world, to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're a royal priesthood. God making his appeal through us. But what's the appeal? We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the message. all of you come to God and be brought into his presence. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Dear friends, we're a royal priesthood. Number three, we're a holy nation. Imagine that, a holy nation. Well, a nation consists of citizens who reside in a given place. There are boundaries. And those citizens have rules. And they obey those rules and regulations as part of their citizenship. And they strive for the well-being of their society. Well, as citizens of God's holy nation, we have common characteristics as well. Because we've been born again, the water and the spirit. That we have been renewed and renewed and purchased and won by the blood of Christ. We're a holy nation, set apart to belong to God. And number four, we're a people of his own possession. Imagine that. God has claimed you for himself. We are a people called out from the nations of the world to be his prized possession. And we have a special relationship with him. We belong to him. My wife just got out of the hospital, but my sons, my grandson, my daughter-in-law were here. You know what pride there is? To be able to hold them there and say, I want to introduce you to these people. I love these people. They're my family. We belong to each other. But we've sacrificed for each other. You're God's own possession. God looks at you and he says, you're mine. I have paid for you with blood, suffering, and death. Well, God has a great plan for you. You're related to a king. But you're a holy nation. You're prized possession. Well, if we are all of that, then we are. What is our purpose? Well, our purpose is simple. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nation. You see, salvation is not a man-centered concept. It's a God-centered concept. And it exalts his name and his person. Once we were not God's people. We were unthankful. We were separated from him. We were under his judgment, under his condemnation. But Peter says we were not people who were not receiving mercy from him. But now we have received mercy. But dear friends, I thought about that the last couple of weeks as I've really struggled recently in my life with mercy. Well, what's mercy? Mercy is the act of not giving someone what they deserve. Dear friends, that's mercy. It's the act of not giving someone what they deserve. God in his mercy has given us the opposite of what we deserve. Because of sin and rebellion, we deserve condemnation. But because of his sacrificial love, he has given us mercy. We now, as those who have received mercy, are to proclaim the excellencies and the moral perfection and the awesome sovereign power of God, and the all-sufficiency of our Almighty King. And as those who have received mercy, we extol his attributes, and we celebrate his nature. And we want everyone to know his holiness and love and justice, mercy. He's indescribable and uncontainable and incomprehensible. He alone is God. And he's had mercy on us. And ours is the privilege of sharing that wonder with others. Imagine. God looked down on humanity. And his son left the throne of grace. and became a man and assumed our human flesh. And he carried our sin. And he died in our place. And he was raised for our forgiveness. And he will come again to claim us, the holy nation, the royal priesthood, the chosen race, God's own people. So I want to ask you today, Zion, are you living as a chosen, royal, priestly possession, holy unto the Lord? Are you? Number two, is Zion fulfilling its purpose of proclaiming the excellencies of God and his salvation? You know, the church doesn't belong to itself. The church is meant for those who are yet to be a part of it. And number three, are we making a conscious? If you have a pen and a paper, underline that word. Are we making a conscious effort of proclamation? When you have the opportunity to share Christ, is it in your mind and you're thinking about it? And so when the opportunity comes, you're ready. Conscious effort. Number four, if so, and this is key, is this effort flowing out of our love for and admiration of God? Do whatever we do, it's done out of compassionate hearts, seeking the lost, and it flows not out of judgment, but love. And the admiration of God. Dear friends, I want to give you a truth. Put it on your forehead. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Man, that's true. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And all those privileges that we have been given have also brought with them a noble responsibility. But what is that, Pastor? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Isn't that something? God calls people out of darkness. And our world is dark. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Dear friends, that's who you are. In the political arena today, there's great division in our country. There's great dissension. And our politicians and our political system is becoming a public spectacle and a mockery. Great tragedy for our nation. But it's a greater tragedy to the eternal cause of Christ. If there should ever be dissension or division among us, we're the body of Christ. We belong to one family. Ours is the family of God. There's no Jew or Greek, male or female, black or white, rich or poor. We're the body of Christ. And we are living stones. We're citizens of his kingdom. Well, unity does not eliminate diversity. And not all children in the family are alike. You have more than one child, you know, you raise them the same and they turn out, they're not alike. Not all stones in a building are identical. And if they were, there wouldn't be much beauty in the building. And if everyone in the family was the same, there wouldn't be much richness in the family. the absence of diversity is not unity, it's uniformity. The uniformity is dull. If two of us are exactly the same, I'll tell you this, one of us is in need. Well, it's fine when you sing in unity, and I like that. But I tell you, a choir singing in harmony is even better. Now, here's my point. God calls us to different ministries, and we have different methods. But we still love each other, and we still present a united witness to the world. And one day, we're all going to be together in heaven. So I tell you, it's a good thing to learn how to be together on earth. St. Augustine said this, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Now that God has saved us to the redemptive work of his Son, now that we are a special people belonging to God, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own possession, our lives don't belong to him, they to us. They belong to him. And our agenda is not ours. Our desire is to follow the King. We know who we are. And we know what he wants us to do. And by the grace of God, we will do it. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in a saving faith in Jesus the Christ. Amen.